John does not tell us everything that happened to Jesus on Good Friday. He skips over some things. If we wanted to learn the whole story, we should go to the other Gospels. They're the ones who will tell us everything else. But in reality, that's okay. John doesn't have to tell us everything. After all, his gospel was written last. He assumes that you already know the story. He assumes that you can just go to the other gospels to fill in the details. But what that means is everything that John does include here is meant to teach us something. He has a point with everything that he says. And so we want to think about these things, and by reflecting on them, we will learn something about who Jesus is, and also learn something about ourselves in the process. So John tells us then that after the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was led, bound, to Annas. And already we have a difference from the other Gospels. Because the other Gospels say that he went to Caiaphas. And John himself will actually say that Jesus goes to Caiaphas later in this reading, so it's not like he skips it entirely. But what's his point then? Why does John talk about this meeting that the others do not record? What is it that he wants us to see? Well, to understand that, the first thing we need to know is who Annas actually is. Annas is more than just the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Annas himself used to be the high priest. But about 15 years earlier, the Romans removed him from his office and put someone else in his place. Now, that wasn't something that was the usual way of doing things. The Romans really should have no business in this at all. The high priest is supposed to be something for life. But the Romans had changed it into a political office that they used to help control the people. But even despite all of that, people still looked up to Annas. You might even say that they considered him to be the real high priest, or at least the one who's had a great deal of power. After all, several of his sons themselves had become high priest, and now his own son-in-law, Caiaphas, was high priest according to the Romans. You might be able to think of Annas as being the power behind the throne. And we see this elsewhere in the New Testament too. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke says this, that this was happening during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Notice that he puts both of them together. And also in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, Luke again tells us about Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. He's a man with a great deal of power, one that Caiaphas, in some sense, had to answer to. And so what is happening here then is a kind of preliminary meeting. Annas is questioning Jesus in an informal way before he sends him along for the official trial under his son-in-law, Caiaphas. But John also tells us that Peter was following along behind, along with another disciple. This other disciple is most likely John himself. But what Peter was doing there in the courtyard of the high priest is kind of hard to say, really. Was he there out of a sense of loyalty? Did he want to follow after Jesus no matter what? Was he there out of a sense of curiosity? Just wanted to see what was going to happen. Maybe he was even there out of a sense of shame, a sense of guilt over the way that he had acted in the garden. Because the other Gospels tell us that after Jesus was arrested, Peter and all of the other disciples fled out of fear. And maybe Peter has come to the courtyard of the high priest thinking that he's going to fix things. Maybe he's ashamed of the way that he acted. And so he's going to do it right this time. Now he's not going to be afraid. Now he's not going to run away. Now he's going to say the right thing and to stand up for Jesus no matter what. He would be ready for anything, at least in his own mind. And it's pretty easy to picture him going through all kinds of scenarios in his head, the way that we might do. If they do this, he says, then I'm going to do this. And if they say this, he says, then I'm going to say that. I'm going to be ready no matter what. You might even say that he was winning arguments in the shower, the way that when we have arguments with ourselves, we never seem to lose. Peter was ready for whatever might come. But in reality, he wasn't. Because when the first test came, he was totally unprepared, if you can even call it a test at all. Because the servant girl who lets him in asks him a very simple question. Verse 17 says, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And you have to understand, Christians, she's not asking this question to accuse him. There's no suspicion in her voice at all. It's an entirely innocent question. You might even think of it as a way of just trying to start conversation. Because the night's activities were pretty exciting. I mean, it's not every day that they bring a man in the middle of the night in order to try him like this. Maybe she wanted to find out more about what was going on. And Peter was obviously from out of town, so maybe he was part of that group. Maybe he could tell her something about what was happening with Jesus. And so she asks this innocent question. But Peter's totally unprepared for it. He's not sure what to say. And so he denies everything. He says, "I am not." And maybe he thinks that if he can just get away from this woman and go somewhere else, well, then he can deal with it over there. He doesn't need to worry about what she's saying. He just needs to get away. And so, having lied to her, he goes over to the fire and stands in the group, hoping to just blend in with the crowd. And I'm sure as he stood there, he was kicking himself and saying he was going to do better the next time around. But Christians, Peter shows us something that we all need to remember. And that is that it is easy for us to think that we are stronger than we are. It is easy for us to become too confident. And in that way, we end up being unprepared when the actual test comes. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Peter thought he could stand. Peter thought he was ready. Peter thought he was strong. He would be able to deal with everything. He would make the good confession this time. But he trusted in himself. And that was his downfall. That's where it all went wrong. He was weaker than he knew. It's just like somebody trying to give up drinking, keeping alcohol in the house. The temptation is simply too great. Because the way to make the good confession, Christians, the way to follow after God is not to trust in yourself. That will only end up in disaster. The way is not to pump yourself up in the mirror, thinking that you're going to do it right this time. The way is to turn towards God and to trust in Him above all things, because He is the one who gives us strength. And when we trust in Him, Christians, we will be able to make the good confession. We will be able to speak the truth boldly and to be ready for whatever may come. But what a very different picture John gives us also in this chapter. Because Jesus is also standing there before Annas. He is faced with his accusers, who are trying to tear him down. Annas is asking him all kinds of questions, asking him about his disciples, asking about his teachings, and so forth. But this was not the right thing for Annas to be doing. Everything about this was totally illegal. The right procedure would have been for Annas to call witnesses, and then for the witnesses to give their testimony, and then for Jesus to speak up in his own defense. That would be the right thing to do. Jesus should be declared innocent until proven guilty, just like we do in our courts today. But Annas is trying to trip him up. He's trying to get Jesus to testify against himself so that he can latch on to something that Jesus says and use it to condemn him. That's why Jesus answers in the way that he does. Jesus is basically saying, well, if you want witnesses, if you're really looking for the truth, then go out there. Go into Jerusalem. Go into the synagogues. Go into the temple. You will find all the witnesses that you need. Because I said everything publicly. I made no secret about what I was teaching. And even if Jesus explained some things in private to his disciples, that doesn't change what's happening here. Jesus did not say one thing in public and say something totally different in private. Everything that he taught was always the same, and people knew what it was, even if they didn't understand it. So the right thing to do here would be to make a formal accusation. The right thing to do would be to do things in the proper order. But that's not what Annas is doing. He doesn't have a case against Jesus, and he knows it. But Jesus is not being harsh or sarcastic here. We should not take his words in the wrong way. Jesus' answer is a genuine one. He wants to uphold the truth. He wants to point to the truth, even in the face of those who don't want anything to do with it. And we see this very clearly with the officer who strikes Jesus in the face. The officer apparently thinks that what Jesus said was totally out of line, that he was being disrespectful to the high priest. Of course, that's pretty ironic considering what they're putting Jesus through. But Jesus answers him in this way. If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Jesus is basically saying, if I said something wrong, prove it. Bring the accusation, bring all the evidence, let's go for the truth. But if I have spoken rightly, and Jesus is saying he has spoken rightly, then why do you strike me? Jesus is being treated like a criminal, even without having been accused. But there's nothing that they have against him. Nothing that they could bring before him that would actually stick in a court of law. Nothing that they can prove he's guilty of. This whole trial is a joke. Jesus is innocent, and they know it. There is no good reason for them to strike him. And so Jesus upholds the truth, even in the face of those who try to condemn him by a lie. But in this way, Christians, Jesus also shows us what it means to make the good confession. He shows us what it means to follow after God. Because Jesus points to the truth even as his enemies seek to tear him down. Jesus is always doing what is right. And he's not doing this because of his own power. He's not doing this because he trusts in himself. The whole New Testament goes against that idea. Satan, on more than one occasion, tries to get Jesus to trust in himself, but Jesus won't do it. Jesus trusts in his Father, and he puts himself in the hands of his Father alone, even when that meant that he had to go to the cross. Like Paul says in Philippians, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And by humbling himself in this way, by trusting in his Father above all things, Jesus was prepared for every temptation. And Jesus could speak the truth without fear, no matter who was listening. So Christians, it is the strength which comes from above that enables us to face every temptation. It is the strength which comes from God that enables us to speak the truth to everyone. If we want to stand firm And if we want to follow after God in everything, we need only turn to him as Jesus turned to his Father. And we will find the strength that we need no matter what may come. And perhaps the best way to summarize all of it is to use the words of our well-known hymn, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who made the good confession of faith, never wavering even in the hour of your suffering, strengthen us to speak of you to all and to uphold the truth of your word in every situation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.